Please join me in the confession of sin as you find it on page 120. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy. The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all of our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise for the versicles. Please be seated. This evening's lesson, which will also serve as the basis for our sermon tonight, is taken from 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter, and then select verses. This account is from the life of David, serving as king of Israel, early in his regime following the death of Saul. Now David said, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet." Then King David sent and brought him. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, "Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "Here is your servant." So David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." Then he bowed himself and said, "What is your servant that you should look upon such a dog as I?" And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servants, and said to him, "Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always." So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. Thanks be to God. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you have shown such great mercy and compassion toward us by causing us to be your children through faith in Christ our Savior. We pray that you would stir up our hearts in sincere faith and cause us to show likewise signs of compassion and mercy toward others. We ask it all in Jesus' saving name. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed who have been purchased and bought back to God by the suffering, death, and resurrection of his only Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God's grace, his kindness, and compassion are yours to be found alone in this Savior. Amen. When I was a little boy, I loved the story that we just heard read about Mephibosheth. About two blocks from my house, there was a boy that was disabled and had to be carried around a lot of times and placed into a car. He was about my age. And so when I would hear the story of Mephibosheth, it just kind of made me think of that poor little neighbor boy. The setting to that story that we just read took place a little more than 1,000 years, about 1,100 years before the time of our Lord's birth. And back in the era of David and Saul, if you remember, David had been anointed to be king, the next king of Israel. Saul, the first king, had disobeyed God and was now going to have the throne taken from him. And Saul, upon hearing that young David had now been anointed, pursued him with his army all through the hills and the caves, trying to put him to death and get rid of this future king. In the meantime, during a battle, Saul commits suicide and falls on his own sword. And so David now has assumed the throne. And the account that we just read about Mephibosheth takes place soon after that, one of the first acts of David now that he was in the palace. It was very common practice in that day to kill off anybody from the previous regime. We still see this once in a while with dictators in our day today. Especially a son, because a son would represent a potential threat to the authority of the new king. And it also would often be fearful, a new ruler would be fearful that the servants and maybe even the leaders of the army might still have some allegiance to the son of the previous ruler. And so when Mephibosheth comes before David, not only is he this disabled man, but on top of that, the situation is just ripe and ready for him to be executed. In fact, he refers to himself as a dead dog. It's quite a statement. I am a dead dog in front of this new king. But David acts contrary to what the typical practice of the day would have been, knowing the words of the Lord, who says, "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord. David instead has asked of Saul's servant, Ziba, is there not still someone in the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? Now that's interesting. He doesn't say just kindness. Is there somebody out there I can show an act of kindness toward, but particularly the kindness of God? The Hebrew expression chesed Elohim, the kindness of God. It's often translated in our Bibles, the loving kindness, or the mercy, the tender heart of God. Now, even an atheist who doesn't believe in God can show compassion on someone. But this is a different type of kindness. This is a kindness that is connected to heaven. This is a kindness that is connected to the divine love of God that has been poured out on a sinner like David. That's what he's talking about. And David sees himself here as the great recipient of God's loving kindness toward him. And he now is moved by that to want to seek out and find someone to whom he can show the same type of kindness, even someone who wouldn't expect it, and some might even say didn't deserve it. Now, it's interesting in this story, David not only simply has thoughts of mercy and sympathy for Mephibosheth, but that thinking and that attitude in his heart causes him to take action and to do something. And this reflects the activity likewise in the heart of God. St. Paul describes that heart of God toward you and me. He says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor." Talk about poor. Think about what happened on the cross and the suffering he endured. Paul says, "So that you, through his poverty, might become rich." God not only had empathy and sympathy in his heart toward us, but it moved him to do something, to take some action, and to actually help us out and benefit us. Now, this story in the scripture is recorded for our learning, as all stories in the Bible are, not simply to teach us and show us a way of tenderness and love toward other people, and certainly that is in it as well. But it also serves as a great metaphor of how God has treated us. David could merely have felt sympathy for this man, or he could have just maybe allowed him to live, and some would have thought that that maybe was enough, or maybe give him a poor man's house somewhere else. But he chooses instead to take it a step further. He chooses to bring him into the palace, and he chooses to let him sit and eat his own food at his own table every day for the rest of his life. What a picture of us. God could easily have condemned us. Talk about dead dogs. Think about our sins in front of God. He knows everything about you and me, right down inside of us, the stuff we've hidden from everybody else. He knows it all. He sees it all. But because of the work of his Son on the cross, atoning for our sins, he has chosen not to treat us like the dead dogs that we really should be. But instead, he has taken us into the palace of his kingdom of grace and promises that we're going to get to live in his eternal palace in heaven and sit at the feast of salvation and eat in his presence forevermore. What an amazing God that we have. God was moved to take action and to go beyond just having feelings of compassion for us, but was moved to do something about it. And you and I then will get to benefit sitting at his table always, just like Mephibosheth did here in the life of David. This causes the believer, along with St. John, to think of all of this and say, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called sons of God, children of God." And that is what we are. How can we find fellow Mephibosheths in our life to show this same mercy of a God who has showered it down so lavishly on us? Amen. Thank you.
Your own.